Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. This is Fernando Farias speaking, accompanied by sound engineer Horacio Prado. As usual, we're going to be sharing with you the latest news, plus our regular features for Tuesday. Today we've got Argentines around the world and also Argentine folk music. We are transmitting via internet on www.rai.com.ar. Let's kick off right away with today's headlines. Congress begins analyzing a comprehensive tax reform. The president launched a governmental online interactive platform. And the new ambassador in Russia was officially appointed.
RAI, Argentina al mundo. RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in the world.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
And here's the development of today's news. Congress begins studying a comprehensive tax reform. A bicameral committee will study the project fostered by the federal government that is aiming to pass into law next year. This would be the first tax reform of importance in three decades. 15 senators and 15 deputies will integrate a committee that will begin analyzing the proposal. The debate is expected to be long since there are some thorny issues at stake, such as shareable funds that the federal government has to send to provinces. In addition, lawmakers will study the potential creation or elimination of taxes. The president launched the governmental online interactive platform. Mauricio Macri presented a webpage that will collect ideas and suggestions by citizens for the Maestro Educational Plan. The project will be analyzed by technicians before the government submits it to Congress for debate. The government kicks off midterm electoral race. With publication on the official Gazette, the parliamentary vote was formalized with a first round on August 13, in a general election on October 22nd. The General Electoral Command that was established in the decree will be in charge of monitoring stations, the necessary infrastructure of the process, and also the count. The new ambassador in Russia was formally appointed. President Mauricio Macri formalized the designation of Ricardo Lagorio as Argentina's representative in Moscow. The government of Vladimir Putin has already granted the place to the diplomat, so he's ready now to take his post in the Russian capital. Argentina took over UNASUR presidency. The pro-tem leadership of the South American bloc will go on until April 17, 2018. The goal of the country during this tenure, official sources informed, is to bring the countries of the region closer. Economic activity increase. The hike was 1.2% year-on-year in March, with a decrease of 1.1% at the end of 2017's first quarter. According to Orlando Ferreres Consultancy, in March, the first annual advance in more than 12 months was registered. Grains lobby calls for using more trains. The improvement in the price for crops such as maize, soy and wheat would be between 19% and 27% if cargo is transported via railways rather than trucks. That is the assessment of the Rosario grain stock market. The farming sector is hopeful about Macri-Trump summit. The upcoming meeting between the presidents of both countries will be an opportunity for Argentina to regain a market for its farming exports that are currently suspended. Argentina and the US reached a trade exchange in 2016 of around $10.4 billion, with biodiesel being the best seller of Argentina to the States. President Macri is arriving tomorrow, Wednesday, in the US for an official visit whose highlight will be the encounter with Mr. Trump at the White House.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina 面向世界。
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
For those who are living in the States want to listen to RAE, Argentina to the World, now there is a way. Please phone free 641-552-8099 and order any of our programs through your mobile or landline on Audio Now. And this is just the beginning. Very soon there will be a similar service for Mexico and Canada and Brazil in Portuguese and Spanish. All of them to be accessed through a local
with
number.
No frontiers. A bridge spanning the gap that brings our fellow countrymen living, creating, and dreaming in every other country of the world together.
And for this week's edition of Argentines with No Frontiers, we go to New York to talk to Lourdes Silveira, an Argentine lawyer, an Argentine lawyer, who recently moved to the Big Apple. But her story with the United States goes a long way, isn't it so, Lourdes?
Yes, hi. I met my husband, Daniel, in 2004, and he's from the U.S. So I was already very in touch with the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
for 2014, when I finally moved to New York.
Mm-hmm.
You met your husband here in
Argentina.
Yeah.
And then you lived in Argentina. You got married in Argentina.
Yeah, so we met in 2004, and then he stayed there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2014, we decided we wanted to, well, he wanted to get his master, his MBA, for a long time at that point. And he applied for a university, and he got in Cornell University. And that's the reason he already wanted to move that back to the States. I agreed from the moment I met him that was going to happen at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And a good transition was to go to the U.S. and, like, have both of us, like, a master degree so we can transition to a life in the U.S. and get jobs and all that.
Guys moved back because of your husband's opportunity of studying at Cornell, but were you planning to study there as well, or you developed the idea when you settled there, or you found the opportunity when you settled there?
That was always something that I had in mind, that if it is not easy to get in, so I thought, okay, once he's adjusted to the life, and at that point we had 15-month-old twins. So at that point I said, once he settled and the twins started to go to daycare, I can try to apply. But there are so many requirements, like tests that you need to take, and I also had to do my green card and a lot of paperwork that take time. So once I got everything done, I applied. But that idea was always in my mind, because studying here is not the same as it is in Argentina, where you can study and you can keep working and do have your life the same way. And here is you stop your life. You stop working, you go study for 2 years full time, mm-hmm. and all the partners of the students, they have to stop their lives too if they want to be together. So in my mind, like, it was a win if both of us, since we had to be there, if yes. both of us could get a degree, that would be awesome.
Yeah, it's an interesting distinction that you make. I mean, the difference between studying in Argentina, or at least studying in a public university. I don't know if it's the same if you go to a private university here, but if you go to a public university and you are a UBA graduate, mm-hmm. aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you say, you can work a full-time job, say you work 9 to 5, and then you go take courses at 7 p.m. through 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., and well, it might take you 5 to 6, maybe more years, but I mean, you continue with your life, as you pointed out.
Yeah, and a lot of people have families, and they don't have a rush to get the degree, so like then you can do it. But here it's more difficult, and it is more, I don't know, expedite. So you do it, it's 2 years, the master, and you stay 2 years, not more. Maybe less, but not more.
I'm curious, I mean, being a lawyer, what kind of certification, what kind of paperwork you need to get your diploma recognized by, for example, in this case, the U.S. Isn't the law different in every country? I'm just curious. I mean, I'm speaking out of my ignorance in the matter.
Yeah, no, I actually didn't do anything related to law for my master's because, well, I didn't practice for a while, even in Argentina. And it is totally different. If you are going to study law and you go to the U.S., you need to start again, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at least 2 years for to do like an LLM, maybe, and then
to do a what?
Take the bar. LLM. That's a degree that most of the international students do. If you have a law degree and you go do an LLM in the U.S., you can go back to Argentina and you are much more, I don't know, it is for working in maybe international law firms, or
mm-hmm.
It's very prestigious degree, but only works if you are going to go back to your home country.
I get it.
And if not, like for lawyers that want to practice here in the U.S., you need to take the bar. And the bar, the exam is very difficult. And I think that it depends on the state, how difficult it is. I think that New York is one of the most difficult. But I'm not like that aware of that process because I didn't do it.
Yes, and you
said study human resources.
Okay, I mean, it's a master's, and it's a postgraduate study. You needed a mm-hmm. university degree, which in your case is law, but you are into a completely different area of a study.
Yeah, and here, I mean, people that, my classmates, for example, some of them were very young too. They were, like, if they had a undergrad degree, they can apply. So depends on the master program, the requirements on experience can change, because some of them were straight through, like from undergrad to a master degree without having any experience, and that was okay in my program. But
mm-hmm.
for example, for my husband's program, an MBA, they require more years of experience before applying. So it depends on the program, basically.
And basically, with that master's degree in human resources, you work in the human resources departments of companies. I mean, what's your current?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that you recently joined. You got a job with that master's in New York. Can you tell us a little more about it?
Yeah. So I didn't join the company yet. I did get an offer, and I'm going to start in August. Mm-hmm. But most of the students with this degree, they go to corporate HR, and so you have a role in HR that could be related to employee engagement or benefits or something related with HR or strategy. And then if only a little amount of students go to maybe labor to join a union or more like a governmental.
They join a union. I mean, they work for a union in the.
Yeah, I work for a union or something more like governmental. Something more related to government. But only a few of them, because of course, like, it's not that lucrative as joining a corporation.
Now, you just landed in New York. You just arrived in New York, but yeah. I mean that's a city that I would say a large number of people around the world look up to as a place they would like to live. This host included. I mean, coming from a city from Buenos Aires, I mean. Has it been up to expectations? I mean, how is it going so far with living in that city?
I didn't leave the apartment much because, like I said, I have my twins and now I'm not working and the weather is not that nice. So we didn't have a chance to explore much. Mm-hmm. But comparing this to Ithaca, where like I lived in Ithaca for 2.5 years, Ithaca, New York, which is like almost in the border with Canada. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because one of the things that surprised me was the weather. Even though it's still New York State, the weather is much better here. And people will say, oh, we are going to have a huge storm and be prepared, have water, and like, yeah. I don't know, I thought that, okay, this is going to be huge, and nothing, like, in comparison with Ithaca, this is like, this is a big joke, so I was happy about that. And then, it's nice not to have a car, it's nice to walk outside and go to places, walking, I like that. And then, I like the fact that it's so, like, international and, I don't know, progressive and a lot of options. So I think we are going to be very happy here. Like one thing that, I don't know, is the finding the systems that we need to work every day, like the routine. We didn't get it yet. We are trying to find that out, like going to the supermarket and bringing stuff to the apartment or, I don't know, the subway system and moving with the kids and all that we didn't figure out yet.
And you said you guys don't have a car, so you're going to be commuting or walking or biking?
Right, yeah, because we had a car and we actually sold it because it is too hard here to have a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, last weekend we went to Long Island and we rented a car and and cheaper.
I remember from conversations with other Americans, they told me that one of the few places in the country or in which you can do without a car is New York, together with maybe San Francisco and a couple of other places in which you can commute, you can be without a car. Outside that, it is very hard.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I don't know.
Well, what about
driving here will be crazy.
What about the kids? You have you have binational twins, and how's that? I mean, what language do you communicate with them at home? I mean, both of them. They were born in Argentina, weren't they?
Yeah, they were born in Argentina, and while we stayed there, we spoke English at home, and then Spanish.
both of you,
everybody else.
The American father and the Argentine mother spoke in English to the children when they were living in Argentina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they were so little. So we moved to the U.S. when they were 15 months old, and then we switched. So now we speak only Spanish at home and then English everywhere else. The problem now is that while they were going to the daycare, they started to interact with other kids, and they were speaking in English all day, basically, and learning songs and playing games all in English. So they, when they came home, they kept talking in English between each other. So now is the, I don't know, we need to like be firm and keep speaking in Spanish and make them speak in Spanish too. My fear is that they are going to forget, obviously. But they, I mean, we keep coming back to Argentina every year, and they, I think their Spanish improves so much every trip. So I don't think they will forget. But I don't know. Other people told me that when they get older, that they resist a little bit to talk.
They resist speaking
like
Spanish.
Basically,
you guys do that because you want to keep them perfectly bilingual, not because you want them to speak Spanish. I mean, bilingual in which they can speak one language or the other and you can't tell where they're from.
Yeah.
That's an ambitious goal.
That's
good goal.
That's happening already.
Eh?
Yeah, but like they are almost four and they already know accents. And they correct me if I say, like, when I pronounce, I have an accent, Argentine accent, and they correct me, like, a lot.
The kids correct you when you speak in English or when you speak in Spanish?
No, in English.
Ah.
They make fun of me. They don't correct me. They just make fun of me. But one day, we were talking about some friends, and I said, we were talking in Spanish, so I said, Brian y Sara. And those are American people. And they say, no, mommy, they're not Brian and Sara. They are Brian and Sarah.
And Sarah.
Yeah, no, that was too much.
Yeah. I mean, that happens to us a lot. We only have five vowels in Spanish. And when you speak English, you have to learn they have so many more sounds.
Yeah, I don't think I will ever have, like, better accent. I'm fine with this.
The five vowels, of course. What about I mean, the jardín, I mean getting help with the kids as a professional couple. I mean, what kind of support do you send them to? A public kindergarten? Is there anything like that in New York, or what kind of support you get outside home with the kids?
Now we are waiting for them to start pre-K, which they can start at 4, but the calendar year for school is starting August. So from now till August, we don't have anything, basically. I mean, we are trying to find one babysitter, maybe, but it's hard because and that's where you notice the difference in culture, because here, we were talking with some other friends, like, yeah, you hire a babysitter and they just watch them. As long as they don't kill each other, like, they're fine. But people are not that active or warm, maybe, with kids. So, I don't know.
Are you implying that would be more the case or more the rule here in Argentina when you hire somebody to look after your kids?
I think so. I had very good experiences there. But I don't know. I don't want to generalize, but that's my experience, at least so far. When we went to when we were in Ithaca, they were going to daycare, and that was awesome. That was super professional. They loved it. That was a great experience. But then, now like everything is so expensive here we thought about putting them in a daycare, like maybe part-time, because I'm not working, I can be here. But everything is so expensive that we can't afford that. So we're just going to wait, maybe do some classes or something to keep them active. But that's it. And then wait, because here in the city and in Brooklyn, I think, pre-K is public. Starting at 4 is public, so you don't have to pay.
Cool. And how long, how much time do you spend there per day?
I think it is something between like 8 or 8:30 and until 2 something or 3.
Mm-hmm.
More or less, and then they have, depending on the school, they have extracurricular activities that you can enroll them to, but that depends on the school. But everybody, if both of the parents work, everybody has a person who pick the kids up from the school and then take them home to give them dinner or to, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, man. To stay with the kids until the parents return.
Yeah. See,
I mean that's what everybody.
The hours don't make sense.
Yeah, it's true.
The
I mean,
don't make sense.
In here, and I'm telling this to our listeners out there, when you are in a situation like Lourdes is, you have two options. I mean, you can send the kids to kindergarten, to Jardín de Infantes, as we say here, until noon, for example, noonish, like 1 p.m., but if you work full time, you can send them all day because it is implied that you're working, and mm-hmm. you can even send. There are some establishments in which you can send kids from 3 months old all day there. That's a big help. And you're telling me that the hours don't make sense there.
No, even when you consider this all day. But if you don't leave work until, I don't know, 6 or 6:30, then and that's the difference too. That most of the people don't have like, I don't know, people can't leave work here. Oh, okay, 6 o'clock, I'm leaving. It's not like that. So
why?
I don't know. I think that's the whole different discussion. But this is related with the system here. Like, people work until they have to work, and then they go home. Like, otherwise, they get fired, because here everybody can get fired.
There is no working hours, no 9 to 5. I mean, you work until you...
Well, more or less, but not that strict.
Mm. You're not looking at the clock and then go...
No.
Clock
no.
out.
Especially if you have a... No, especially if you have a career. Maybe if you work in a shop, maybe it is like that, because you, mm-hmm. I don't know, shut down the shop and close the door and you leave, maybe. I don't know. But if you have a career, you probably work until you need to work.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you go back home and after dinner you keep working. Like
at home.
I see.
That's interesting. Well, Lourdes.
And that's the usual, yeah.
This was very interesting. I wish you the best in this this new year, this new stage, this new city. The best to you and your family. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure too, and thank you.
Well, all the best. Cheers to your family.
Bye first.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Well, that was Lourdes Silveira, an Argentine lawyer who's been, as you heard, living in the U.S. for more than 2 years, married to an American for more than 10 years, and now she graduated at Cornell University and moved to Manhattan, where she's about to start her job with the company, raising two toddlers, binational bilingual toddlers, and that was another installment of our weekly segment, Argentines Without Frontiers.
Argentines with no frontiers. A bridge spanning the gap that brings our fellow countrymen living, creating, and dreaming in every other country of the world together.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン
RAE, Argentina al mundo
La RAE, Argentina al mundo
RAE, Argentinien in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina to the world, presents The Fathers of Chamamé. The chamamé is the musical style that characterizes the Argentine littoral region. It displays native Guarani roots. In the course of time, the Guarani rhythm was influenced by Jesuits and Spanish roots, and above all, by Germans, which died of the music with gay tunes and an abundance of expressions, accordion tunes and guitar accords as the basic instrumentation. In that northeastern region of our country, of lowlands and generous vegetation, where the landscape history and culture make the Paraná River stand out, we find the province of Corrientes. It is exactly there where the hub of the chamamé developed during the 1920s, challenging the changes affecting fashion and modern times of music. Chamamé in the province of Corrientes is active and well alive. About the origins of chamamé, we may say.
Se suele emparentar el chamamé con la vecina polka paraguaya.
Chamamé is believed to be a relative of the Paraguayan polka. Both share a Guarani and mestizo origin, but each of them preserves its well-defined musical identity. Besides, chamamé bears a sonority characterized by wind instruments like accordion and bandoneon, while the Paraguayan polka basically plays the harp. The chamamé was originally thought as a dancing rhythm. Long before being named chamamé, it was heard and danced at every corner of the region. A region basically rural, which during the first decades of the 20th century witnessed the migration of the population towards the city of Buenos Aires in search of new labor opportunities. This migration took chamamé also to the urban hubs. In Buenos Aires, the chamamé completes its current physiognomy through the first integrated bands. But it is only in 1931 that the term chamamé becomes officially used to refer to specific musical rhythm. In that year, a popular Paraguayan musician registered a song with that name. Julio Cáceres recalls the episode. The first play registered as a chamamé dates back to 1931 by Paraguayan Samuel Aguayo, believed by many to have invented the name. In those times, there were two record houses, RCA Victor and Odeon, which disputed the record market in which the popular and Guarani-based rhythm was quite important. So much so that a famous singer from Paraguay, Samuel Aguayo, became one of the record figures. The record house then requested Aguayo to record a composition to attend the reality of the people of the Northeast who had settled in Buenos Aires. Therefore, he wrote a composition he entitled Corrientes Potí, that means the flower of Corrientes.
¿Qué quiere decir la flor de Corrientes?
¶¶
que tiña el peinal. Chiña Caín, por amor en la llama mí. Debe morir de amor piloso para mí. Vivo en Correntino, prendido al coraje de tu barbar. Por mirarlos me matan con dulce y tormento tus ojos al mar.
During the 40s, the chamamé gets consolidated, establishes a specific way to be played, and incorporates new investments like the bandoneon. Now, new varieties will appear both in music and dance, leaving gaiety aside. And among those responsible of this creative task, we must mention musicians Tránsito Cocomarola, Ernesto Montiel, Isaco Abitbol, and Tarrago Ros, who would eventually be called the fathers of chamamé, the four of them born in the province of Corrientes. Ernesto Montiel and Tarrago Ros played the accordion, Tránsito Cocomarola and Isaco Abitbol the bandoneon. The four integrated the most famous bands of chamamé besides being the composers of the pieces we still hear, such as Kilometro 11, Kilometro 11, by Cocomarola, also considered the anthem of the province of Corrientes.
De nuevo a implorar tu amor, solo hay tristeza y dolor al aliarme mon Muriel. La culpa manté a licor de los tiempos que he sufrido, por eso es que ahora he venido a candirete a Ico. A ni que enderezará que un día este cantor ya ha dicho llena de amor, de reinar. Cuacayangaité, si existe en tu pensamiento aquel puro sentimiento de Cobayere. Anin de poche, anga sendibé, desengañuete, mante areco, sea catarú, anga y cuajadere que cuñas en pechaico. Thank you.
mí que enderezará y que un día este cantor le ha dicho ni nada de amor, derecha en la verdad, siendo el cuacayanga y te, si existe en tu pensamiento, aquel puro sentimiento, el ego va a ser él.
Mario del Tránsito Cocomarola integrated several musical bands and wrote nearly 400 pieces. The recording we have just heard was registered by him and his trio in 1946. It was accompanied by the duo Vera Lucero, also very popular at the time. In 1942, Ernesto Montiel, in turn, formed the famous Cuarteto Santa Ana, the Saint Anna Quartet, also integrated by Isacco Abitbol. The quartet was the first chamamé group that became massively famous by the mid-40s. Let's now hear Cherubicha, My Boss, in Guarani language, interpreted by Saint Anna Quartet. Known as the master of the accordion, Ernesto Montiel became during the 60s the top soul musician by the Philips record house. And together with another founder of the Saint Anne Quartet, bandoneon player Isacco Abitbol launched himself as a soloist in 1951. Known as the patriarch of chamamé, Isacco Abitbol recorded 21 samples with his own groups and others with the Saint Anna Quartet. He composed over 150 songs, among which The Calendar, we will hear now.
Según cuenta una leyenda de mi tierra correntina, la calandria era una guaina muy cantora y peregrina. Ambulando por los montes, iba la guaina cantando, y alegrías y canciones a su paso iba dejando. Por su canto dulce y puro, Dios premió luego a esta china, transformándola en calandria de mis selvas correntinas. Thank you.
Another two elements proper of chamamé are the dance and the sapucay. The latter, a cry that can express different states of mind and quite characteristic of the people which were in contact with the Guaranis. As a matter of fact, in Guarani, sapucay means cry. This cry is atypical of chamamé, both as part of the compositions and expressions of the people. Let's listen again the explanation given by musician Juan Quintero.
El chamamé se baila en pareja enlazada.
To dance chamamé, the partners hold each other in an embrace, both bodies in close contact. Although at times the male partner draws apart from his female partner, and without losing hold of her, he starts tapping his shoes and displaying his improvisation ability. What we hear in the background as sapucay, a clear expression of chamamé players. The sapucay can express a celebration, a challenge, anger, or any other emotion. Out of the four pioneers we already mentioned, there's still one missing, Tarragorros, the king of chamamé. Tarragorros used to play different and several instruments, but his favorite one was the accordion. He integrated several groups of chamamé and composed more than 200 songs and recorded over 20 records. His popularity was such that in 1965 the Orion Record House handed him a distinction for being the most successful Argentine musician who had exceeded over 1 million records. From his first record, let's hear The Bull, El Toro, another classical piece of the chamamé repertoire.
RAI,
Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in the world.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
Let's go over the main headlines for today's news. Congress begins studying a comprehensive tax reform. The president launched a governmental online interactive platform. The new
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina 面向世界。
RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
This was another edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. Horacio Prado is the sound engineer. My name is Fernando Farias. Thank you for listening and hasta la próxima.